This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
It's a Scoop Tuesday here on Minnesota Sports with Mackey and Judd. Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department here for some inside information and maybe a little reckless speculation about your favorite Minnesota sports teams. Hello, Darren. How are you?
Hello, Phil. I appreciate you guys having me back on. It leads me to believe that today is Tuesday, because normally we connect on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but after being in the Dominican Republic the last few days, definitely tan. I'm not sure I'm rested. You know, you beat up your body so much, and hey, I'm not sure I'm ready to go, but happy to be back with you gentlemen.
Scouting players, right? Like, I mean,
it would have been
if
fun.
You're in the DR, you got to go scout players.
Oh, trust me. Droogie was all about a 45-minute drive away from, we stayed at an unbelievable resort, the Hard Rock. 5-star. I mean, it was as good as it gets.
All-inclusive?
But about a 45-minute drive. What's that, Phil?
All-inclusive?
It was all-inclusive, yes.
God.
You beat up your body, though, right? First world problems, but I'm telling you, I haven't drank that much in a while. I haven't ate that much in a while, or at least that well, right? Late nights, early mornings, right? Because you want to utilize every minute you have there. And so, yeah, I mean, I beat up my body pretty good. But, yeah, the Miami Marlins Baseball Academy was about a 45-minute drive away. Trust me, Droogie was all about, hey, can we get a cab? Can we get a car service? Hey, can we find a way to go to the Marlins Baseball Academy?
Your kid's awesome. And, Droogie's
yeah,
awesome.
Then on the car ride to the airport yesterday, we were having a little bit of a conversation. English was a little bit of a hurdle, but he understood enough. The driver, big fan of Jorge Polanco.
Okay.
Big fan of Polanco.
That's good. Okay. So hopefully he can follow Jorge's adventure to Seattle. Let's start with Vikings. We'll get to some Wolves ownership stuff that came out today. But now that they've made the trade that they did, so it's been a while since there's a lot to unpack in the week since we've talked to you here, Dukes. But let's go back to the trade they made on Friday. What's sort of the buzz and steam? They have a private workout scheduled with J.J. McCarthy next week. Do we have any idea if it came down to Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, does it matter for them? Do they have one clearly over the other, like from what you can sort of glean these last several weeks?
Well, certainly, right? I mean, there is some sort of pecking order, right? I mean, one of those guys is above, you know, the other two. I'm taking Caleb Williams out of the equation. So to me, we're talking about McCarthy, May, and Daniels. But
yeah,
my sense is, Phil, they're open-minded to all three. So you mentioned what Albert Breer put out there, that the Vikings are putting J.J. McCarthy through a private workout early next week. His pro day on Friday that the Vikings will have a healthy contingent at. But then early next week, some sort of private workout. My understanding is, like, I don't know if it's finalized or not, but they want to get an extra look at May, at Daniels. So when you think about pro days for LSU and North Carolina, you think about next week. Okay, well, next Wednesday, so 8 days out, you have pro day for LSU. Next Thursday, 9 days out, pro day for North Carolina. What I'm getting at is I have a feeling that Kevin O'Connell is going to be on the road a good stretch next week.
Are you hearing any scuttlebutt about what the odds are or what the favorite is if the Vikings do indeed, as we all expect, package 11 and 23 to move up? Are we hearing, is it 4? Is it 5? Like, is there a prohibitive favorite at this point, Darren?
Well, I mean, the thing I can't get a read on, Judd, is what will Washington do at 2? I mean, they cut the cord on Sam Howell, but could they move down? Like, a lot of league people just can't get a good read. New regime there, right? A lot of moving parts. Heck, you have Bob Myers, the former Warriors GM, who's been involved in all these meetings, right? So people in the league are still trying to figure out what exactly is Washington's agenda. You know, there's some uncertainty, too, at pick 3. We do know the Vikings have a great working relationship with Arizona. Think about the joint practices a year ago. Monty Osenforth, the GM, right? He likes to wheel and deal. You look at his first draft last year at Arizona, moving up, moving back, right? I mean, he's a guy who really wanted the Vikings job as Minnesota ties. But the Vikings have a good relationship with Coach Gannon, with Monty there in Arizona. So to me, I'm looking at Arizona at pick four, not ruling out the Chargers at pick five. I just think the Chargers can move back to accumulate more draft assets. But to me, I'm keying in on Arizona at four while acknowledging I don't have a real good read right now, Judd, on pick three and pick two, but knowing the Vikings have this great relationship with Arizona at pick four.
Yeah. You know, it's a safe space for reckless speculation here. I can throw this out.
Reckless speculation.
You're among friends.
I struggle with whether I should even say this Twitter handle, not because it is kind of a funny sort of controversial name. I just don't know. There is a Twitter personality, anonymous, if you will, that claims to be in inner circles of NFL ownership. Like he somehow finds himself like at country clubs in Florida and cocktail parties. And this anonymous Twitter account put a very lengthy and super specific tweet out, way beyond the 280 characters. He did get himself verified. And it essentially lays out that the Vikings expect to trade for the number five overall pick, that the first four picks in the draft are basically locked in unless someone comes with a godfather-like offer, that Caleb Williams is number one. There's a little uncertainty of which quarterbacks are going to go two and three between Jaden Daniels and Drake May, but that those two quarterbacks are going to go two and three, and that the Cardinals aren't going to move out of the four slot because they want to take who they think is the best player in the draft, Marvin Harrison Jr., and that the Vikings are basically keyed in. And this is, okay, this is an anonymous Twitter account who claims he has spoken with three Wilf owners in the last 72 hours, saying that the organization is looking at the number five spot in J.J. McCarthy. They want the J.J. to J.J. connection. For what it's worth, that's the reckless speculation in the dark corners of Twitter right now, Doogie.
Well, I mean, is it logical to think that the Vikings and Chargers have already had dialogue or will have dialogue, right? Jim Harbaugh, the relationship he has with Kwesi, the Chargers needing to accumulate more draft assets. It makes all the sense in the world. What I don't know, though, is what if J.J. McCarthy goes pick two or pick three? And, hey, Arizona, they have so many picks. Yes, the Vikings have this great relationship with Arizona, but does Arizona really need 11 and 23 and whatever else? Like, if you have this healthy opinion that Marvin Harrison Jr. is by far the best prospect, forget best receiver, best prospect in this draft class,
yeah,
then yeah, don't move all four. You have enough draft assets already. It's not like Arizona needs more. So I understand if they come to that conclusion. Now, I can make a case the Washington receiver, the LSU receiver, those kids are going to be really good as well. But if you feel like Marvin Harrison Jr. is that good, I get it. So then you look at pick five. You look at the Chargers. They need all the help in the world. They need to accumulate more draft assets. So yeah, you get up to five. But I'm just saying, what if it's Daniels at pick five? Or what if Drake May gets to pick five? Are we sure it's all about J.J. McCarthy? Yes. Do I think the Vikings, I've been saying this since what, September, October. Do I think the Vikings are fans of J.J. McCarthy? Yes, absolutely. They will continue to do all the due diligence in the world. Trust me, by late April, the Vikings will have the book on J.J. McCarthy. But I just don't know, Phil, like for sure, is he there at pick five? Is he the guy? Now, if he is, yes. Okay, J.J. McCarthy, new Vikings quarterback, same representation, same agency as Justin Jefferson, right? Create that connection instantly. Lots to like about J.J. McCarthy. I'm just saying, is there any chance he ends up going pick two or pick three? I can't sit here on March 19th and say definitively, yes, Daniels may off the board picks two and three in some order, right? Williams, we know, pick one, okay? So take the Bears out of the equation. But, like, I don't know. Like, I still need to figure that out if McCarthy is the guy that's going to be there at pick five.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
But if it's your problem, if that's your problem, it's great, because then it's like, you know, if you have thoroughly vetted Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy. So let's say, I don't know, let's say that McCarthy goes two. He screams up the board. Okay, that's fine. If you are at three or four, here's the thing, though, and I saw a Dan Orlovsky tweet about this yesterday, and I think it made a lot of sense. I keep going back to the Patriots because, yes, the Patriots would love to get their, I'm sure, franchise QB and be set there. Orlovsky's point, though, was a really good one. Elliot Wolf, whose father obviously traded for Brett Favre at a time that the Packers were starting to pop. He has seen three different permutations of organizations that take QBs. He was on Ted Thompson's staff as an underling, I believe, when Aaron Rodgers was drafted. And obviously Aaron sat, and it was great. He was also on the Cleveland staff when Baker Mayfield was drafted, and Baker got thrown into a little bit of a difficult situation. And then he was with the Patriots when they took Mac Jones. And so that was a disaster. So Orlovsky's point is Wolf has seen and his father built teams. And yeah, it's great to have your QB, but if you put your QB as a rookie into an infrastructure that's just a piece of crap, you might have Bryce Young, who might absolutely be fine, but he was put into a terrible situation. Contrast that to CJ Stroud. I just keep going back to, I could really see the Patriots saying, give us 11, give us 23, give us another first or a high draft pick, and you've got a deal. Because that franchise needs so much help. And I don't know that taking a top QB and foisting him into that mess on day one is going to be a great idea of a guy who's clearly going to consult a lot of smart football people about that move.
Yeah, and hey, Elliot Wolf, by the way, another guy that was in the mix for the Vikings job that absolutely wanted this job, right? So just, you know, bringing it full circle. Yeah, I get it. Like, you look at the landscape of the AFC East, you know, the Patriots for at least the next couple of years. I mean, clear cut, number four, right? You put the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills, all above the Patriots, that they need so much. So then we're talking three, four, what, 11, 23, yeah, 2025 first round pick. What else? Like, how much can the Patriots get? I understand it. Like, you know, I was told, you know, I threw it out there under the reckless speculation umbrella a few weeks ago that there was even some chatter going back to Mobile at the Senior Bowl. Then I told you guys a few days later, hey, somebody very, 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 very high up with the Vikings threw cold water on that thought. I said, okay, well, you know what? If I got the answer I was looking for after I had reached out to try to verify, right? Because then I didn't need to put it under the reckless speculation umbrella, but I threw it under the reckless speculation umbrella a few Thursdays ago, you know. But yes, I mean, inevitably there's going to be chatter, if there hasn't already, the Vikings with Elliot Wolf at pick three. So then we're talking, okay, if it's between JJ McCarthy and Jaden Daniels, if Drake May goes pick two, who is the guy? I do think the Mace team is legit with Josh McCown. Like, it's all starting to make sense, right? I mean, we heard about Sam Darnold long before that signing. You start connecting all these dots, right? McCown with Darnold with the Jets, McCown knowing May, coaching him in high school, right? The Drake May stuff makes a lot of sense to me. Just overall, you look at his skill set, how he would fit in a Kevin O'Connell offense. There's just so much to me. You point at Drake May and say, okay, you understand the interest there. But if he does go pick two, and it's between Daniels and McCarthy, I guess what I'm getting at, Judd, are we positive it's all about J.J. McCarthy? So if they get up to pick three, are we 100% sure in this moment it's McCarthy over Daniels? I guess what I'm saying is I'm not.
Yeah. Hey, let's clean up some other Viking stuff here just in the week since you've been sunning yourself with pina coladas in hand in the Dominican Republic. Danielle Hunter, was there ever really a desire in the end to bring him back? Do you have any concept of what the talks were like between Hunter? It just kind of seems like they told him thanks for the service after the season was over, and I don't know, there wasn't much buzz about whether they were even serious about making him an offer, Dukes.
Yeah, I mean, like, we had known for weeks, you know, and they knew going back to the combine that it was going to trend elsewhere, that they weren't going to get to the number that Danielle was seeking. And hey, like, his agent Zeke knew all along it was going to be somebody. Now, I had heard, you know, going back a while, some Jacksonville interest, but Josh Allen, hey, great year. Does Jacksonville really want to pay two elite pass rushers? So I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, then you think about, you know, some of the Bears' interest, but then they trade for Montez Sweat. So, you know, did the Bears want to invest heavy money in two pass rushers? Right. Houston loses Grenard. You know, Daniil is from down there. Like, it all made sense to me when I saw that move occur late last week. But my sense all along the way, Phil, was the Vikings were ready to move on, that they just weren't going to meet the number that Zeke knew all along he was going to get.
Yeah.
And the piece that Breer wrote that you talked about, Doogie, which is basically a play-by-play of Cousins' departure to the Falcons, but includes some of the Hunter stuff, is really intriguing just as far as the Vikings approach. And it's pretty clear that, as we suspected, that the Vikings definitely had figures in mind as far as guarantees and things. And so I think ultimately what we at the time recklessly speculated on has proven to be exactly right, which is the Vikings just drew lines in the sand and said, hey, if you'll take this, awesome. If you won't, fine. The one thing I'm curious about is when it comes to Grenard, health has been a problem. But the interesting thing in the swap, which basically what this amounts to, Hunter going to the Texans, Grenard coming to the Vikings, what I find to be interesting about that is so Daniil Hunter's a better player. Like, if you want to get after the quarterback, like, I will take him every time. That being said, if Grenard stays healthy, his physical attributes actually might fit into what Flores wants to do more as far as dropping into coverage and disguising things. Because,
yes,
you know, Daniil being asked by Donatel to drop into coverage 2 years ago was a ridiculous, it didn't work, it was a ridiculous ask. Grenard and Flores, to his credit, came here and is like, no, I'll use you correctly, like, as you are suited. Grenard, I think, has way more flexibility, though, because he's not as big to drop into coverage. So I do think that there's a case to be made that schematically, Grenard actually is more along the lines of what Flores values from how I can use this player specifically point.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw how fast that deal came about, you know, early last week, right? So, I mean, the Vikings clearly identified Grenard very early in the process because they knew they were losing Hunter, so they wanted to come up with a logical replacement. And I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, just skill set wise, you know, even going back to what he did at Florida, you know, you can see it with Grenard that there's a bit more there, right? Yeah, I mean, the question is, can he stay healthy? He's got youth on his side compared to Hunter. Yes. For 2024, yes, give me Daniil Hunter. I'm not debating that, just in terms of getting after the quarterback. Grenard, you know, hit payday when he had to, right? Had his best year in a contract year. Credit to him, but I understand there's still some questions about him, including his durability. But you look at all those guys, right? Van Ginkle, Cashman, right? I mean, all those guys can do a bunch of different things that I know Brian Flores is very, very excited about. You know, the Vikings had to beat out Houston and some others on Cashman. I mean, you know, there were a good 10 to 12 teams with at least initial interest in Cashman, but Blake had interest in coming home. So they were able to come up with a good deal that, hey, if the Vikings need to escape for some reason, speaking of durability, I'm a big Blake Cashman fan,
mm-hmm.
you know, and hey, credit to him, his best year in this contract year, right? Houston gave him an extension. So it's a credit to him as a day three draft pick that he has now earned a third contract. So big fan of the former Gopher. Heck, I used to do some stuff with Blake going back Eden Prairie High School. But you look at the structure of that contract, if it goes sideways, the Vikings can escape, you know, much like the Alexander Mattison contract, right? The 2-year extension, but there was an escape valve, you know, in March. Like, we can look at next March if the Vikings need to. They can escape pretty easily from the Cashman contract. The other thing, like, going back to Cousins, right? I mean, we talked about this, like, they were never going to guarantee any money into 2026, that third year. That was never an option, but they did wiggle a little bit on some guarantees, I was told, in 2025. I don't have the exact specifics, but the Vikings did move off whenever they made that line in the sand. They bended a little bit somewhere along the way, but it was never going to be enough. And hey, this all points to the Vikings want maximum flexibility 1 year from now, right? Now we're seeing this plan come into place. I think they identified this quarterback class. I mean, hey, I get it with Elliot Wolf, but are we sure? Like, I haven't heard much buzz about this great 2025 quarterback class. Now, inevitably, somebody will jump up, right? Like, if the Patriots want to do that, I understand it. If the Vikings and Patriots ultimately come to a deal, the Vikings move up to pick three, I get it. The Patriots can probably find a quarterback a year from now. But what I'm getting at is, I believe this regime, Kwesi and company, identified this quarterback class going back a while and targeting March of 2025 to say, okay, right, like we'll try to be as competitive as possible. I guess maybe this is what he meant, competitive rebuild. We're starting to see what the plan has been all along.
Yeah. Hey, we'll get to any remaining Vikings nuggets and a really interesting Wolves ownership nugget here as well. After we shout out our friends over at Nicolay Law, specifically the 2024 Bracket Challenge presented by Nicolay Law on the YouTube channel. There you see Russell Nicolay. But here's what you need to know. Make your picks at scorenorth.com/bracket. Prizes will be awarded for first, second, and third place. And their winner will be crowned right here on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd for your one shining moment if you win the entire thing. And the winner will also get two VIP tickets to the sold-out Purple Daily Draft Party on April 25th at the Fillmore. It's the 2024 Score North Bracket Challenge powered by Nicolay Law. Enter at scorenorth.com/bracket. And a reminder, too, over on the Score North Twin Show, which you can find on Apple, Spotify, and the brand-new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, Trevor Plouffe Tuesdays makes its debut today. We're going to have the former twin, who's now a big shot at John Boy Media, a guy that I used to cover 10, 12 years ago on the Twins beat. He's going to join us on the Score North Twin Show starting today, every Tuesday. He's actually on spring break next week, so we'll take next week off, and then he'll be back for the rest of the Tuesdays throughout the season. So you can find the Score North Twin Show on Apple, Spotify, and like we said, the brand new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. If you're wondering where to find that, you can either search for it in the YouTube search bar, or you can go to either one of our two YouTube channels that we have currently, the Score North YouTube channel, the Purple Daily YouTube channel, and you'll see a link on the homepage of those channels. Dugues, you want to get into the Wolves ownership nugget that came out here today?
Well, a couple things. Plouffe, excellent get. I mean, his analysis is gold. On the Twins, I can tell you, Michael Lorenzen, the free agent, threw the other day. The Twins were sent all that data, all that video. I don't sense there's any movement there. Like Louis Varland with DeSclafani now, I mean, who knows if he'll ever pitch for the Twins. I mean, injury issues going back now multiple years, but he missed the second half of last year. Remember, yeah. He was just a throw-in in that trade. It's not like he was the central part of that Polanco trade, but I guess we shouldn't be shocked that he's dealing with something. So Louis Varland can ascend to that number five spot. You worry about depth. So these agents, they're trying to find their client's job. So like in the case of Lorenzen, you know, the Twins got all that data from that four-inning session he threw the other day in California. Plus Clevinger, you think about his history with Falvey. The Twins have kicked the tires a little bit. I don't sense anything is like on the cusp of happening, but the Twins are still exploring the potential of a move or two. Again, I don't don't aggregate this or anything crazy like that. Like they're on the cusp of doing anything. I mean, Louis Varland to me has earned the number five spot anyway. So good for Louis. You just worry about, you know, Festa, Simeon Woods, Richardson, like how many innings can Paddock throw this year? Over, you can cross that bridge later. I don't think they need to necessarily add one of these veterans right now. One of those guys wouldn't be ready for multiple weeks anyway. On the Vikings, Zach Anakstead, former Gopher quarterback, add him to the list of draft prospects that will visit over the stretch of April 7th and 8th. And how about this? Put this under the reckless speculation umbrella, but since I wasn't on Thursday. So there hasn't been any movement on Legarius Sneed, but I'm told, like, all things relatively equal, he wants to play for Brian Flores. Like, Legarius Sneed, the Chiefs cornerback, would love to be here. Now, hey, we're talking about the Vikings, you know, looking at the possibility of moving up. They only have so much draft capital. It's not like the Chiefs are giving him away. So the Chiefs are looking for a pretty decent draft pick. Like, you're not getting him for a 6 or 7. Now, maybe in the end you do, but right now you're not. And, hey, you need to give him a monster contract. So yeah, there's a lot of hurdles there, but I'm just telling you, you know, bottom line, like all things relatively equal, Legarius Sneed would love to play for the Vikings. That's the sense that I get. All right, if you want to transition to the Wolves ownership situation, yeah, it continues to be wonky.
So should I read this from David Shamma? I'm just going to read from your this is from your Twitter account. You went through the ShammaSportsHeadliners.com. David Shamma has been a long time. He has a newsletter, an email list, and he talks to Glenn Taylor from time to time. And so I'll just read this from Doogie's summation. You quoted the article. that A-Rod and Lori had an equity group that was going to come in and put in $300 million, and that equity group has either withdrawn or the NBA has denied them. They have to go out and find new revenue. That I do know from Glenn Taylor. That's the quote. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, the deadline is March 27th, so we are 8 days out. Now, hey, remember, Glenn spoke with me on March 1st. Glenn was led to believe that this thing would close in late February. But the official deadline, okay, end of March. But he thought, hey, this thing would wrap up end of February. But technically, they had an extra, you know, 30 or so days. So that deadline is forthcoming middle of next week. I still deep down, Phil, feel like Lori in particular has so many contacts that raising the money, because the valuation that they're in at, it's such a sweetheart deal that, okay, for whatever reason, this equity group, that $300 million fell through. Okay, that's what Glenn is saying. Let's take him at face value. But that they can find some other equity group that actually raising the funds isn't the biggest hurdle. I believe the biggest hurdle to be the NBA ultimately approving this entire process. Now, why would the NBA potentially deny the final sale? It would be for any number of reasons. Maybe there's some potential backup group that the NBA likes better. Hey, who knows the conversations that Glenn is having behind closed doors with Adam Silver, with others in the NBA front office, you know, longtime member. You know, he served a long time on the Board of Governors. Like, Glenn's been involved heavily in NBA matters going back, you know, 30 years, right? I mean, he's got a lot of seniority when it comes to the NBA. So it's entirely possible Adam Silver and others will listen to Glenn, and Glenn might just say, hey, what I've been saying, this whole process has been wonky, certainly wonkier than I thought going back to April 2021. And the other reason might just be that, like, all this leveraging, like, it's just, you know, the NBA might just say, yeah, just no. Like, we don't understand.
Like, what are we trying to, this is one of the, literally one of the biggest discounts in NBA franchise history.
Correct. That's why I feel like in the end, they will raise the funds. Like, I just have a hard time believing, even with 8 days to go, like, Lori has so many contacts. I really have a hard time believing that come middle of next week, we're going to have news that they haven't raised the money. I'm just telling you, whenever the NBA gets around to it, it might be more like the summer, but does the NBA in the end? Now, maybe they do. I'm just saying, I wonder about that. In the end, will the NBA approve this transaction? That is the final hurdle. So that's fine if they come up with the money, but the NBA ultimately has to approve the sale, Glenn Taylor to Mark Lori and Alex Rodriguez. In the end, I'm just saying, Phil, I'm wondering aloud, will the NBA approve all of this?
But the NBA is going to do, and this is the thing about bringing in investors, the NBA needs to do background checks on all of them, correct? So it's not just like, hey, Mark and Alex are good guys, and so I mean, Glenn is basically indicating in that Shama piece that there's a chance that the NBA vetted that investment group and said, no. And I mean, there can be any number. It can be cash flow. It can be the background. So, like, that's the thing to me is if we're 8 days away and they're still trying to come up with significant investors, the NBA is going to need more time now, if they do, to vet them as well. So your word the whole time, hanky, has been perfect, because I feel like
wonky,
we're now.
But yeah, I mean, one works too. Yeah.
We're dealing with a lot of different.
Hanky. I like hanky.
I love hanky. It's a great.
It's hanky. Yeah. It's a
but I think it, of Homer Hanky.
Is it Hanky Panky?
Yeah, Hanky Panky.
Hanky. It's Hanky. It's like it's weird. It's odd. It's very, very odd. I'm just I am hard pressed to believe this is going to be approved in 8 days if you're going to have to bring in new investors.
Well, it wouldn't be, right? They would just be committing the money.
Right.
The NBA then would need to vet
all
the
whole
this.
Background check.
The approval process would be months out.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, I mean, to me, by a week from tomorrow, I'll just have a hard time believing if Lori and A-Rod don't come up with the money.
Sure.
I guess it's possible, but I just feel like Lori has enough contacts. They'll find a way to come up with the money. It'll be later on that the NBA goes through all of that. That's why I wonder in the end, when they have to, will the NBA approve this process?
Interesting. Interesting. Jukes, we got to run here in a minute, but if you have any final scoops in that bag, feel free to rifle them off here for us.
Yeah, some optimism on Gobert. I mean, you think about on the court, how big is tonight? Now, I guess it depends on what seed you want the Wolves to have. But, like, because I was going back and forth with a high-ranking Wolves official middle of last week. He was trying to sell me on, I don't want the one seed. Now, I've told you, going back to my conversation with Glenn, the one seed is a big deal to many in the organization, but not to all. That there's so much pressure with the one seed that they could embrace being, even if it's the two, but it's just, it's not the one, right? But, like, if you're thinking about a lengthy run, don't you need to be one or two to have home court in the second round?
Yeah.
So, like, to me, two would be a big deal compared to three. I also think avoiding Denver until the Western Conference Finals would be a big deal, but you can't necessarily dictate that. But you just, you think about the importance of tonight. If you want the Wolves to finish ahead of Denver, still three more matchups, the Wolves and Nuggets. Trust me, the Nuggets have circled this game for a while. I can promise you that, that they finally have the rest advantage over the Wolves. So this is a big one tonight at Target Center in terms of Western Conference playoff seeding. I was told the other day that there is some optimism on Gobert. I know he didn't play in Utah, but that this is not some sort of long-term setback. Okay. I don't have an update, unfortunately, on Naz Reid. He left the game last night in Utah early, took a shot to the head, some sort of head contusion, and he wasn't in the locker room postgame. So I don't know the update on Naz. But on Gobert, you know, there's some optimism. If it's not tonight for some reason, he's not far off. This is not a long-term setback.
Okay. There he is, Darren Doogie Wolfson. Inside information.
Great stuff.
All right, boys, and I ran into the Gopher basketball team at the airport last night. So how about that? The NIT makes them fly commercial. Yeah, well, we were going through the international area.
I hope they fly commercial.
It was funny. I'm walking, and then all of a sudden I see Ben and Thor and the entire team. So it was a quick wave. The family was ready to move on. It was a long travel day yesterday. So there's a glass separation when you come back internationally. But, yeah, I did see them, but it was funny. You know, I started texting with Thorson after that, that they have to fly commercial. You know, it's unfortunate, no charter flights for the NIT. Oh. But the Gophers, you know, they seem pumped to play at Hinkle Fieldhouse, Legendary Arena tonight against Butler. I believe it's ESPNU for TV coverage. And, hey, you know, they're also reaching out to some guards in the portal, but they're just hoping to keep all these guys. I'll continue to say the biggest fear on Cam Christie is him. Like, he's going to test. My understanding is he's going to test. The belief is he's going to test the NBA draft waters. Is it possible at all that some team makes him some sort of guarantee, second-round pick, or a two-way contract guarantee, maybe 2 years guaranteed on that, something like that, where he would say, you know what, that's worth me leaving compared to coming back to the U? I still think Cam Christie, you know, his ceiling is so darn high that, like, I'm not ruling out first round, maybe late first, but, like, first-round pick in a year or two. But can the Gophers sell Cam Christie on coming back versus if some NBA team gives him a promise? That's what I would keep an eye on. I'm not necessarily keeping an eye on Cam Christie entering the portal, then ultimately transferring.
Yeah. Okay. So Gophers,
but they still have work to do NIL wise. I mean, like, you know, there's a belief that, you know, like, you look at Ohio State firing Holtman, like, a big reason why they fired him, they invested so much money in this year's roster. With NIL, you know, the expectations just go up that much higher when you're spending that much money. And, hey, you know, they made a little bit of a run at the end. But, like, you look at his body of work for this year, because he's a good coach. I'm glad DePaul hired him. But, like, I get it. And Indiana, like, Mike Woodson is facing all sorts of scrutiny because Indiana has spent so much money on this roster. Right? So that's why Indiana turned down the NIT. They're trying to now find more guys in the portal to pay even more money to, right? So the Gophers are still behind NIL-wise, like behind just about everybody in the Big Ten. Like, they're bottom two or bottom three. But they have more money than I think a lot of people realize. So if you can just find a way to give Dawson a little bit, give Cam a little bit, give Elijah a little bit, right, keep this core together, I think this team can be pretty darn good next year.
Yeah. Roll the boat, Sky Ima. Go Gophers. All right, Dukes, we got to run. We'll see you on Thursday, sir.
Absolutely. There he is. Good to be
Darren
back.
Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department every Tuesday and Thursday on Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd and the Score North YouTube channel.